But the promises given to us are much better. Did you get that? So many people today want to go back and live, you know, as the Jew. They want to be the lost races of Israel and all that kind of... No, no! Our deal's better than theirs. I'm going to explain some of that to you. Let's look at some of the benefits of our deal. Oh, first let me tell you about our deal. You remember when Jesus, at the first Lord's Supper, and he had that cup of wine? What is it that he said? This is the new covenant in my blood. That, all of that was under the old covenant, but this is the new covenant from there forward for you and me. Praise the Lord. That's why we do communion. So we'll remember that new covenant. Well, let me show you why our deal is better than theirs. The Old Testament Jew could only come to God at that one place and by that one person. But you know, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, they got to a discussion about the Jewish temple and the Samaritan temple and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus said, the time is soon coming when people who worship me will worship me in what? Spirit and truth. So we can go any place on the planet at any time and worship and turn our eyes to God. We can turn our eyes to heaven and glorify Him and praise Him and come into His presence anywhere on the globe, and we don't need a priest to do it. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the new covenant. We are our own royal priesthood. Just read 1 and 2 Peter. You didn't know you was that person, did you? You didn't know you was a priest, did you? Okay, husbands, don't tell your wives that, okay? But folks, they could only come to one place and the priest had to do it. You and I, because of Calvary, you remember when Jesus died, that God Himself went and He took the veil of the temple and ripped it right down the middle, and God Himself opened the door for you and I to come into His presence boldly. Hallelujah. We can do that. Our deal's much better than theirs. Okay? Secondly, the Old Testament Jew held God in such reverence that they wouldn't even pronounce His name. And you know what Jesus wants us to call Jehovah God? You remember what Jesus told us to call Him? Our Father. The Jew would crucify you for calling God Father. That's what they did Jesus. But Jesus told us we can come to Him even Abba Father, or put in East Tennessee terminology, Daddy. We can do that. But don't lose sight of something. There's only one thing that makes the difference between the Old Testament Jew and us, and it's the blood of Jesus. Nothing else. And everybody who's saved, say amen. Thank you. I'll get you going here in a minute. Oh, here's the third thing to show you that we have a better deal than the Old Testament Jew. The Old Testament Jew's relationship with God was based upon him keeping the law of Moses. How many of you would like to do that? The Apostle Paul even made the comment, hey, we can't even do it. Why are we trying to get other people to do it? But you know what? Your relationship with God, your and my relationship with God, is based upon grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And let's just go there, see if I got it real quickly. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by keeping the law you have been saved. What's the problem? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It was given by grace. It's a gift of God. Not the result of works. Forget your works. They're not good enough. And why? Because God doesn't want anybody to boast about their salvation. It's only through Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus made that possible for us? Our deal's a much better thing. One final thing. I would struggle with this. The Old Testament Jew was made acceptable before God through the shed blood of an animal, a lamb, spotless lamb. Well, you know me, I'm a huge animal lover. And I would struggle with that. But I don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, was sacrificed and crucified on the cross. And when He died, my sin and your sin was nailed to His cross. And He said, "It is finished." We no longer have to do the animal sacrifices because Jesus paid it all. Our deal is so much better. And if the old, I remember Keith Henderson talking about one time, the Old Testament Jew, whenever he sinned, he had to go back and offer another sacrifice because of his sin. You know what you and I have to do? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be made acceptable for one reason alone, Jesus' blood. That's it. I am so glad I am not an Old Testament Jew. What's that? Yeah. But you know what? There's some other things that we can learn from that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's read it again. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's look at each of those things. If my people, which are called by my name, during the New Testament, who is called by the name of God? Christians! We are part of the family of God. We have been adopted into the family. He chose us. He adopted us into His family. And we are known as the children of God. We talked last week, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We'll live with Him forever. We are the children of God. Matter of fact, we are made to be co-laborers with God. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are His representative in this world. So we are His people who are called by His name. Let's go a little bit further. Will humble themselves. That word doesn't fit into our culture very well. David Hume, a noted atheist, thought that the word humility has no good human characteristic about it. He thinks humility is useless. Well, what would you expect from an atheist? But then again, what do we think of humility? The Bible says if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then He'll lift us up. He didn't say if you let God humble you. God can do it. Believe me, He knows how. He said if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He'll lift us up. And you can find it in 1st chapter Peter. I'm sorry, I got confused. 1st Peter 5. Now let me ask you, are we considered people of humility? Sometimes I wonder about me. One author wrote this, Jesus said, "The greatest among you shall be a servant, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." For people of the Christian faith, no one humbled himself more or was exalted as much as Jesus himself. The cross made the resurrection possible. Humility prepared the way for hope, which raises this question: if humility was good enough for Jesus, why not for the rest of us? Are you a humble person? Go ahead and ask yourself that question. Are you? Are you characterized by humility? So an ancient Chinese proverb says, all the waters of the rivers run into the sea, which is the lowest point. And all the water goes to the sea because it's the most humble. Do you see the blessings of humility? Folks, we need to be known as humble people. He says, humble themselves and pray. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. Then why don't we pray? Paul said, pray without ceasing. The Bible is full of God responding when his people seriously pray. One time the early church was in trouble and they met together and had a prayer meeting. And the Bible said that God came in the room and the whole building was just shaken because his people were praying. Why don't we pray? Jesus said, if we pray, he will respond. Now here's a big one. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh boy. Seeking God's face means seeking his presence continually. How long has it been since you or I, come on now, I want you to listen to this question. How long has it been since you or I have taken the time in our busy schedule to seek his face and pursue his presence? The old timers used to call it tarrying before the Lord. I mentioned this over at Garden Village, and a lot of them remember that old phrase. But coming to God with our requests, but just sitting there and waiting, waiting, waiting for him to respond. What most of us do, we jerk out our laundry list that we want from God and bang, 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 bang. This is what we want, and then we go right on. We don't wait. If God had a response for it, we'd never hear it. We'd be busy doing something else, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? If we're going to seek the face of God, we need to seek his presence. Remember, he did say, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. If you don't draw close to him, don't expect him to draw close to you. So there's a lot we can learn from this Old Testament passage of Scripture. The last thing that God told Solomon was if his people would turn from their wicked ways. A lot of us name the name of Christ, but we know there's things in our life that are not pleasing to God, don't we? We know. I don't have to say what they are. I don't have to tell you mine. You don't have to tell me yours. God's already put his finger on it, hasn't he? He's good about that. Holy Spirit does it. God said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, plus these other things, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Could it be if Christians would do the same things? No, it's not the Old Testament promise I'm talking about, but all of these phrases can be found in the New Testament that applies to us. Why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we humbling ourselves? Why aren't we praying and seeking, urgently seeking the presence of God? Why aren't we turning from our wicked ways? If we do, do you think we'll hear from heaven? I think so. I think so. I'm going to go back to a phrase that was told to Billy Sunday. This world is yet to see what God can do with one person who is totally yielded to Him. Billy Sunday set out to be that person, and God used him remarkably. I think we can apply that today. God's still waiting for one person to be totally yielded to Him. Will that be you? Will that be me? And if it is, do you think He can heal our land? Well, they proved it can be done in the Welsh revival. They proved it can be done in the New England revival. There's other revivals went around, but in the late 1950s, it happened here in Australia. You remember when all the churches and all the Christians were coming together to support one particular man who came to preach a simple gospel message whose name just happened to be Billy Graham? He was heard by 9 million people in Australia. And I think the population was only about 11 or 12 million at that time. You don't think that was a revival? I still run into people today who gave their life to Jesus during that time. Can He do it again? I'm not saying Billy Graham. Can God do it again? He would if His people will humble themselves, pray, seek His face, turn from their wicked ways. He'll do it again. Why don't we ask Him to do so? Let's bow for prayer. Father, I know this has been a little challenging today. I know it has been to me, and I've had to put up with this all week. You've had some things to say pretty specifically to me. Father, I know there's many times I bring my list to You of things that I want. But rarely do I take time to listen. So Father, help me in my Christian walk to pursue Your presence. And Father, I pray that everybody here will have been challenged in some way to be Your people who are called by Your name in this generation. And Father, perhaps You would send another revival to Australia. And we sure would like to be a part of that. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your love, and most of all, thank You for Jesus. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Keep looking up. He could come back this week sometime. If so, I'll see you in the air. Have a good week.